Lovely.
I believe you were going to discuss possibly one more topic that you wanted to.
Yeah. All right, so.
We have to unmute these people. Can you press that button? We're back.
Okay, we brought the meeting back to order, and the issue that we were going to talk about, or the topic we're going to talk about, is edibles.
Four types of products.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Another type of types of products. Yeah, I'm sorry. Edibles are too specific.
Subcategory.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, so Jake, I'm going to throw you under the bus, but can you kind of lead us into this discussion?
This is Jake Ward. I think the best place to start would be to define those larger subcategories, edibles being one. We have concentrates. That's probably another one. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip right now, so feel free if anybody's got ideas. Vape pens might be separate from that. Tinctures, yep. Topicals. What else?
Infused.
Yep, infused. So that would probably include edibles for now. Yeah. Yeah.
Patches.
What's that?
Patches.
Yeah. Patches, transdermal.
So we talking edibles or everything that a production facility puts out?
I'm just kind of spit, but yeah, everything that a production facility puts out.
So could we be talking like just soaps and shampoos and lotions? And
yeah,
stuff?
Those
that's
are
an infused product.
Yeah.
That's an infused product. So an infused product doesn't necessarily have to be edible?
Right.
Okay.
It's just, so what did you say before vape pens?
Yeah.
Tincture.
Tincture.
Which is separate from vape pens.
So based on that question, you might want to talk a little bit about what these are so people that don't know could potentially understand.
Right. I think edibles, everybody fairly well understands. That's an infused product that you'll consume orally. Topicals tend to be things like lotions. Maybe the patch is also a topical and transdermal type routes. And what else did I mention? Vape pens. So that's, everybody's seen like the e-cigarettes that people have around. That's the vaporizer pens. And the problem is you get into subcategories of each of these, but I think if we can establish the larger subcategories.
I was just thinking along the same lines, can we create some broad categories and kind of, you know, break it down from there? I mean, is it as simple as edible and not edible? Or is it, you know, inhalable, chewable? I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to figure out a way to create some broad categories.
Yeah.
Yeah, airborne and intravenous. I don't know.
No. We're not going to talk about that.
No. But the regulations for testing it, because there's about seven different ways that you test. One's a solvent-based, one's a non-solvent-based. One's a topical, one's an infused.
I can't, we don't know who's speaking.
This is Tara with Nevada CanMaps, and I'm in the public just trying to help you.
Okay, I appreciate it. We're going to have to wait for a public comment. So any insight on what the medical side looks like?
Well, we have requirements. Chad is Chad for the record. We have requirements for the edibles and all of these things. Like there's also shatter and things like that, which production facilities put out. So wax type product.
Yeah.
So we have requirements that apply to all of them. We our regulations are not laid out that if you, when you get into the details of the products, you have to meet certain requirements. We just have requirements for all these food items.
Okay.
And then we work with the industry to many the establishments to where they comply with the requirements.
How does the medical side categorize them, or is that even necessary?
It's necessary.
Yeah.
It's necessary, but the regulations are not overly burdensome in that area. We don't go into We only have a few pages of regs on edibles. If you want to break it down into separate categories and you want to get specific regs on each type, that's fine, but that's probably that's probably 50 pages.
I think, edibles is probably fine by itself.
I would like to do a Caniac combo, please.
Get some views and I'm sure.
A
reminder to mute your phones so we don't hear your lunch orders. Of course it's at a marijuana meeting, right?
I would say edibles can kind of be, it could be its own category for now, and we'll pay particular attention to the gummies and things like that that might have an impact on our concern for children.
Is there risk of consuming a non-edible? Like, can you overdose from eating a non, like a lotion? Does it work the same way as?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the packaging requirements, we just keep it the same. All this stuff probably needs to be child-proof at the end of the day and treated as such. But so the concerns are still there, but probably treated a little bit differently.
Okay.
Topicals, you know, lotions aren't the same as edibles.
Yeah, I don't think you can overdose on the topical.
No, I don't think so.
You can overdose on the edible.
Oh, yeah. Kelly, do you have a point?
Kelly, Jesse, from Quantum Marketing. So part of what the governor asked of the task force was to limit the sale of marijuana products and packaging that could appeal to children and be mistaken for candy. So especially appropriate in this group would be the discussion around that item.
Which is, I think, solely lies in edibles. Everything else is grown-up products. Yeah,
well,
that's
for ease of discussion, then let's focus on edibles for now.
Okay.
I don't even know if we're going to get time to really explore thoroughly today, because it seems like there's a lot of tangents we can go off on.
Well, if I may, Chad Weston, for the record, my suggestion might be to meet that objective is to establish what additional requirements you would like with edibles. I just suggest that it's going to take a whole lot of time if you're going to give specific requirements for each different type of edible.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking
you could have
to that
you could
point,
have requirements
yeah.
that all the edibles have to meet.
Yeah, and I don't know if we need to get down to the weeds just yet. What I'm thinking is, if our concern is child safety, maybe we create a generic recommendation that edibles shouldn't appeal to children and see how the task force reacts to that. Maybe they'll kick it back to us and say, okay, what does that mean? Or maybe they'll, you know, turn it over to a legal team or something to design. But I think what we're talking about is child safety, right? Is that why we're talking?
I think because it lies in edibles.
Yeah.
And so we can cover that base and then discuss the rest from there.
Yeah. So I don't know, Kelly, what your thoughts are. I don't know if we need to get into, you know, us recommending that they don't allow cookies and gummy bears and that kind of thing, or if we go broader.
I think it could be both of those things.
Yeah.
I think there's probably some direction that you could look at some other states, potentially, with what guidance they've given, and maybe use that as a starting point.
Andrea Zeller, for the record, I also think that we do have to bring in, maybe not the edible piece, but the vape pens, because right now we're seeing the flavored vapes, Captain Crunch and that stuff that we are seeing in the education piece for the youth are really attracted to that. And I don't think that's happening right now, but I can see it happening soon.
Kelly, do you have a comment down in Vegas about this? Or no, Henderson, I'm sorry.
Kelly's out here. So I think it's important just to keep the regulations and mirror what we're doing for medical as far as other regulations, but for edibles, I know we have the same testing requirements for edibles as we do for vape pens and for concentrates and topicals. We don't require microbial testing, but everything else, all the testing requirements are the same for edibles and concentrates and shatter. And so I think it's just most important to kind of mirror what the medical side has been doing and to continue on with that.
Will that address the issue of making these products not appeal to children?
No.
As far, well, I mean, I'm just covering the testing side, being from the lab.
Okay.
I think there is some verbiage in the medical.
Jennifer,
side.
Do you have comment
along those lines, right?
Yeah, there is. It could be
stronger. Yeah, this is Jennifer.
Honestly. Go ahead,
this
Jennifer.
Is Jennifer Lazovich. For the record, I think when Meg and I work on the language for the packaging, perhaps some of that could help with this issue, because again, it'll be, for example, gummies, no gummies. You'll start to see some language, so that might lead us in a direction that could be helpful.
Well, it feels like I bit off more than I can chew with this topic, so if you feel like you might address some of that with your recommendation for packaging, why don't we table this discussion for the next meeting after we hear the packaging recommendation. Are you okay with that, Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm okay with that if the committee is.
Yes. Everyone else on the floor?
You said
something to start with.
Yeah.
Not okay. Okay, good, because my head's spinning. All right. I think we had a long day's work here. It's our first session, and I don't want to beat anyone up too much, so I'm going to have Kelly bring us the agenda item 10. Forgive me.
Okay. So, Kelly, Jesse, for the record, Connemar. Review and consideration for approval of agenda items, and these are for possible actions. What was discussed today is to have Alex, Jake, and Jennifer look into dual-use language changes regarding potentially dual-use of cultivation and manufacturing establishments, focusing on guiding principle number 2. And then also to have Jennifer and Meg, with also Bill and Alex, work on language for packaging requirements, looking at potentially the gaming requirements and current NAC regulations as a guide. Would anyone like to move to approve these two agenda items and activity for the next meeting?
I need a motion first.
So moved.
Second.
And who was the motion?
It was Meg, and then I got a second from Alex. I just wanted to clarify the names for the second item.
Jennifer and Meg would look at the drafting of the language.
Okay.
And then Bill and Alex
okay.
partnering in after that.
Okay. And but I think what you had asked is that once Jennifer and Meg get the language together, to send it to the whole group
yeah.
so that everyone can have feedback on it.
After we get all that together, I think Kelly's going to talk about the mechanics of moving forward, how we're going to share information, and that kind of thing. That's accurate?
Sure.
Can you?
Sure. Well,
okay.
I think you should talk about it because it might be
okay.
something you might want to consider.
Okay.
How exactly... In the process itself that was already approved, the goal would be that the draft language would be completed before sending it to us, so you can decide if you want to send
okay.
it to you and how you want.
So Bill, did you have a comment?
Approval.
Just reiterating what Anna said.
Okay, so when the two teams are out creating a recommendation, would you please keep us in the loop, either Andrea or myself or both of us, and Kelly as well, as you converse back and forth. I think it's necessary for the chairs to be involved in the discussion. And then once you create the draft proposal on the approved form, we'll share that with the entire board, and then we can discuss it next Monday's meeting. But I'm missing.
Meg Powell, for the record.
Yes, ma'am.
If
you don't have it, you'll get it today.
I did want to ask if that's okay for people to share, because
oh.
I don't want to forward anyone's information unless they're okay with it.
For the board,
yeah.
fine.
For the working group.
Yeah. Kelly and Jennifer, are you two okay with sharing your email addresses with everyone on the committee?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I've got a motion and a second. I need a vote from everybody. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carried. Next up is public comment, and I will start down in Henderson. Is there anyone in Henderson with public comment?
Yes.
Jennifer, would you do your best to kind of organize everyone? And
good afternoon. For the record, my name is Mona Lisa Samuelson, and I am Southern Nevada's
friendly neighborhood medical marijuana patient advocate and community activist. And I'm going to be attending all of these meetings because, as I want you to know, the medical marijuana patients are watching everything you do. And I just have one suggestion for today on your dual use agenda item, and that is that we need to really keep in mind a good chain of command. When you go from a production to a, or a cultivation to a production, I'm not so sure if you need a firewall, but I can tell you, you really need a good chain of command. And so that's my recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No one else in Vegas?
No one else in Vegas? Ryan Henderson, I mean?
No.
Hello.
Anybody in Carson City with public comment?
This is Vicky in Las Vegas.
Hold on. Anybody in Carson City with public comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Colin Mudd, for the record. I'm a compliance director for Incredibles. We're based in Colorado. We have a production facility in Las Vegas through CW Nevada with Jennifer. We're familiar with Jennifer.
Hold on, sir. I'm sorry. Could I have you come up so they can hear you on the mic?
There you go.
I apologize.
No, I just wanted to say that if you guys could take consideration for looking at whether or not you're going to allow medical and recreational production within the same facility, as well as cultivation and manufacturing. Also, look at whether or not the license are going to be tethered. If you have a medical facility, and then you get a recreational license, if you're able to ever take one license to another location, or whether or not both of those licenses are going to stay in the same location. The other thing to just maybe discuss labeling of edible products to make them identifiable outside of the package. Either make that an optional thing for certain companies that can, and for companies that can't, maybe look at a little bit different dosage for the edibles that can't be recognized outside of the package. That goes along with following the Cole memo and diversion, as well as consumer safety. You know, if you get a piece of edible or a piece of candy, chocolate, whatever, and it's outside of the package, you know generally that this is going to be an infused product, and maybe allowing a number on the actual piece as well too. That way you have an idea for how many milligrams you're consuming. So again, my name is Colin Mudd, for the record, a compliance director for Incredibles. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in Carson? Okay, now, anyone on the phones?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, please go ahead.
This is Vicky Higgins in Las Vegas.
I'm sorry, ma'am, I cut you off. Would you start with your name again, please?
My name is Vicky Higgins. I'm in Las Vegas, medical cannabis advocate. I'm having a hard time understanding why we need to separate the medical from the recreation within the facility. Can't we just add the seat to sale point, track that, and do the taxation differences at the register? And that's it.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the phone?
I have one.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
This is Grace Crosley again from the Badlands for Informed Marijuana Regulation. I wanted to second the suggestion from the fellow from, I think it was Incredibles, when he said that there should be a way to identify edibles, even when they're outside of the packaging. I think that's great. I wanted to also comment on the need to consider really stringent fire prevention so that we don't, you know, have a giant THC fire. That would be great. And also, I did want to say that as far as I know, I haven't been able to find any data at all on factory or production facility emissions. So as far as I am aware, that's a complete unknown right now. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I thought there was a male voice on the phone with a comment. Okay, anybody else on the phone with public comment?
My name is John Spilatro. I'm a representative from Southern Nevada Growers. One question before the last comment. The lady had asked the question why there had to be a separation as a point from the marijuana for taxation purposes, I believe, as opposed to doing that at point of sale, if I understood the question correctly. She asked the question, but there was never an answer.
This is your time for public comment, sir. It's not question and answer session. Thank you, sir. Any other comments on the phone? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Drop by itself if it's not in use.